Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Crappy Christian. I am your host and resident crappy Christian, Blake, and every week I get to have the coolest conversations with incredible people about all the things most Christians are still not sure we're allowed to talk about. So if you've been looking for a place to land with all your crap and for someone to just be honest about what it looks like to walk through this Christian life, well, you've come to the right place. Pull up a seat, pop in your headphones and tune out your kids, and come hang out with me and a guest for the authentic conversations that you have been looking for. This week on the podcast, I am chatting with John William Gray. So John is the president of Done Right Carpet Care. He is a carpet cleaner by trade. But through his practice and through building his business, he has learned how to heal from these reappearing spots in our lives and in our relationships, and how we can achieve our dreams and our lives in the process. And this was such a fun conversation, just kind of pulling from the realistic practice of his work to what God has used that to teach him. John, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
So we got to chat a little bit before we started recording, and I'm really excited about what you have to talk about, because I think when you just say that term, which is the title of your book, Spot Cleaning Your Life, Stop Spot Cleaning Your Life, I think it can, like, what does that mean? Tell me more. That intrigues me. How am I spot cleaning my life? And so you have a lot of wisdom, I can tell already, to share. So I'm really excited to dive into that. On the front end, I want to give you the opportunity to just introduce yourself, tell the listener a little bit about yourself and about your new book.
Yeah, I'm John Gray, John William Gray, and I'm the author of the book, Stop Spot Cleaning Your Life, founder of the Life Cleaning School, where we help driven entrepreneurs restore those pain in the neck reappearing spots, the relationship, the financial, and the other issues that haunt their life no matter what they do, teaching them my five-step principle-driven formula for getting rid of those spots, growing their happiness, and never feeling judged.
I love that. So when we were talking before, and you were explaining it to me, and we were talking about those spots, right? And you have this really incredible metaphor comparing our lives to carpet. And it's so good. I want you to share it.
Okay. Well, basically, you know, life is like it gets dirty. Families split up, marriages end in divorce, children, they kind of mess up sometimes. And for me, that happened a lot. I mean, my whole life, all I ever wanted was happiness. Like, ever since I was like 6 or 7, and my mom and dad, you know, they would take us to the beach and we'd go play and have a picnic. Sometimes we'd go to Disneyland or whatever. And that was great and everything, but I didn't need that to be happy. You know, I just wanted to be with them, you know, and there was friction at our house. My dad was German and my mom was Mexican. So there was kind of this clashing, you know, but it didn't matter because, shoot, that's mom and dad, you know. And long story short, happiness kind of ends. Like when I'm 8, 9, my parents, they end their marriage and divorce. And it was kind of out of nowhere, you know, like my dad just packs his bags, drives his car away and never comes back home. Mm. And I'm just sitting there like, what the heck is going on? Like I felt confused and felt kind of abandoned, you know. And then he meets another lady that has a daughter and gets married to her. And then he moves in with them, you know, when they get married. And I feel like, oh my gosh, like, what did I do? Like, and, you know, I'm just curious. I'm one of these seeker kids, you know, like I kind of need answers, just how I'm wired. And the more questions I asked, the more I got in trouble and started acting up and being not so good and started getting punished more and more. And 12 or 13, I'm about 11 now. And my mom and dad, they come up with this plan, like, hey, you don't get him now, you know, he's going to go off the deep end. So, man, my mom and dad, they come up with this scheme, even though they're divorced, they come up with it. And my mom says, John, pack your bags, get in the car, you're out of here. I'm like, wait, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like, you know, emotional. I'm crying in the car. I'm like, where are we going? She's like, you won't listen to me, but you'll listen to these people. She's going to drop me off at this orphanage, right? This gigantic building. We get there. She's like, get out of the car. And I'm just like, shoot, my knees are shaking. And she drives away. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, am I going to go inside and turn myself in? Or am I going to just run and just be like a kid on the street? My mom turns around, rolls down her window. John, are you going to be a good boy? Oh, heck yeah, I'm going to be a good boy. Mom, shoot, I am so sorry. She lets me get back in the car. We go back home. And I'm like, I start doing my chores. I start doing whatever I can, you know, just to make things better, right? Make the spot go away. Fast forward a couple years, my dad gets cancer. And it's like really bad, stage 4. And he dies, horrible death. But what killed me was the funeral. Like, pastor is saying, oh, John William Gray Sr., he was a great man. He loved Jesus. He had so much faith. And I'm sitting in the front row, raging, like, excuse my language, but pissed. I'm like, if Jesus is so good, why didn't my dad ever tell me about him? He never mentioned his faith. And I was like, really? Like, this could have really helped me.
Yeah, like, who is this pastor even talking about, probably? You're like, this, I don't know this person.
Yeah, totally. Like, this was not my dad. So evidently, you know, he became a Christian and everything. So I'm not so much mad at my dad. I'm more sad and grieving. Now yeah. I'm like mad at God, you know? And I'm like on this mission to take the power of my life because, first of all, my parents took it from me. And now God is like, feel like messing with my mind. I was born and raised Catholic, altar boy, the whole deal, first communion, everything, all of it. And I go on this rampage, you know, I'm trying to like take the power of my life and I'm get kicked out of my house. I'm like 15 and a half living on the streets. I'm doing crime to support my habits, you know, because I start substance abusing because I can't deal with life. I'm using that as a crutch to cope day to day. Fast forward, I'm to the point where I want to die or get killed. And I really believe that God gave me the gift of incarceration instead. So I'm going in and out of the justice system, but it's not helping. It's not rehabilitating. It's only hardening. Like I'm have this chip on my shoulder, you know, anybody that messes with me, I'm going to prove myself because I'm taking the power. I have the power now. Anyways, I get done with that. And I think to myself, shoot, I don't want to become institutionalized, you know, so I got to do something to stay out. And I think to myself, well, shoot, if I can meet somebody, you know, and maybe get married and become more responsible, that will definitely keep me out. And that's basically what I did. However, she was a substance abuser as well. And within a couple of years, the marriage was toxic. You know, it was just no bueno. And to make it better, you know, because divorce wasn't good for me. I hate divorce. It's like my worst enemy. We have our beautiful daughter. And that changed my life. I mean, that joy came and I felt so full, you know, like it's unexplainable. But that joy didn't take root. And the marriage ended in divorce after 5 years. You know, it was unhealthy for my little girl and for my now former wife, myself. And my mom had become a Christian 5 years earlier. And, you know, I mean, she's radical anyways. So Jesus saved her. Like, he really saved her from, like, a lot of hell. And she tells me, she's like, John, you got to listen to these tapes. I'm like, Mom, no, no. I told her, like, probably 100 times over the 5 years. And I remember just the pain from not seeing my baby girl, not knowing if she's okay on a daily basis was killing me. And I just said to God, I'm like, you know what? Check this out. If you know anything about happiness, why don't you show it to me? And the next day, I'm in my carpet cleaning van. My jobs for that day had canceled and I had those teaching tapes. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to listen to them. And it's called Taking Back What the Devil Stole From You. And she's telling me about this hell that she had been through. And then towards the end, she's like, what Jesus did for me, he can do for you. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. And I was thinking about all the things she'd gone through and all the things I had gone through. But what cinched it was when she said, double for your trouble. And I said, oh my gosh, sign me up. I'm like,
yeah,
I want double for my trouble. And I asked Jesus into my heart like 100 times that day. I call my brother, my sister, my mom, and they think I'm high. And I'm like, no, I am high on Jesus. I mean, I can't even believe this. Like, even to this day, it's so amazing. But right when I did it, I kid you not, like, I felt just impregnated with purpose. Mm. I didn't know what it was. This was back in 1999. I had been dealing with this for like 20 years. I mean, it's just been driving me nuts. I'm still a substance abuser when I get saved. And I go to church whenever I can, meaning every chance it's open, Sundays and Wednesdays. And I'm going in as inebriated as humanly possible because I need to prove a point, not to everybody else at church, but to myself. I need to know that this Jesus dude is real. Every time I went in there, you know, people would look at me like, oh, dude, this guy is way out. Like, he's a thug. Stay away from him. And that's, I kind of wanted that underneath everything. However, praise and worship would come on. I'd be crying like a little baby. And that would trip me out because I'm not a crier. You know, like, I'm hardcore. Like,
right.
Then pastor comes, starts talking about Jesus and these stories about the Bible. And I am on the edge of my seat. Like, I cannot get enough. However, at the end of the worship, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was, stone cold sober. I mean,
yeah.
Like, what the heck's going on? So I keep going. And then a couple months into my getting saved, my Grams, she's on her deathbed. And I think to myself, Grams has never heard about Jesus. We've never prayed at Christmas time or Thanksgiving or anything. I got to go talk to Grams and tell her about Jesus. But how am I going to do that? We've never talked about it. So I get high. I take my daughter with me. We go and see her. She's in the hospital. And she remembers me. And that surprised me, like, right there. And I'm like, hey, Grams, what's going on? And she's like, hey, how are you? And how's Ashley? And, you know, what'd you do today? And I'm like, oh, we went to church. She's like, church? What's church? Church, it's like this awesome place. And you learn and sing. And she's like, well, who do you learn about? And I'm like, Jesus. And I'm tripping out. I'm like, wait, here we are. And we're talking about Jesus. And I'm like, he's this amazing guy and a little more small talk. And do you want to meet him, Grams? And right there, she gets saved. I'm like, what? No way. So me and my daughter leave. I take her to her house. I go back to mine. And I see on my coffee table all my paraphernalia. And I have this conversation with God. And I'm like, God, you know what? I love you, but I love these drugs too. And I'm going to do whatever I can for you, but I can't stop doing these. I can't. I need them. Like, I won't. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
But if you have a different plan for me, then, you know, whatever. But until that happens, I'm not going to change a thing. I'm going to keep loving you and keep loving them.
Yeah.
And I get high, I go to sleep, wake up, go to work to clean a few carpets, right? And I'm, you know, doing my jobs and making some money. And I come home and get a call on my way home. Grams went to heaven. Very next day. Get home. I see my paraphernalia. My knees start shaking. I hadn't done any kind of drugs that whole day. I see the paraphernalia. I have no hankerings. I don't even want to touch it. And I'm like, how powerful are you? Like, this is like against my will. Like, I'm literally just freaking out. Like, what am I getting myself into? And that really just put the fear of God in me. God starts helping me with my business. It starts growing and I start buying a condo. And it's now 5 years after my divorce. I've been going to this like divorce care group and getting healed from that in some way. And God puts it on my heart to get married again and have a couple more kids. And I'm like, that's crazy. But I knew it was from him. You know, I just knew it because it was in my heart and I didn't put it there.
Mm-hmm.
I meet my wife through my sister, a blind date. You know, we just connect. And, you know, I just wanted things to go right, you know, because pastor was like, man, you get married, you got to be equally yoked. You know, you got to have the same religion. I mean, that's real, right? Because mm-hmm. it just is. So I wanted to make sure everything was good. And she was beyond perfect. We get married. Then we buy a house. You know, the business is going good. And then all of a sudden, all of these spots, like from my last marriage and mm-hmm. prior to that marriage, my single life, they start reappearing out of nowhere and start taking my marriage down, down, mm-hmm. down. My life, my relationship with my spouse, my children, it's just disappearing. And I think to myself, and God, I'm like, I have nothing to hide from God. You know, I'm very like literal and very like organic. And I tell him, you know what? This isn't double for my trouble. This is BS. Mm. I didn't sign up for this. I would never, ever get married again just to get a divorce.
Right.
And he says to me, I kid you not, this is a real conversation. And my white knuckled fists are pounding, you know, the steering wheel of my car because I'm irate. And this is all in the book. And he says, do you trust me?
Hmm.
He doesn't answer with like, oh, this is what you did. No, do you trust me? Like, you know what? I do trust you. Man, you set me free. I mean, you've helped me. You made me happy. Like, shoot, can't not trust you. You know? Long story short, he shows me as I'm helping this customer of mine, people stop buying my carpet cleaning services because, you know, the economy is tanking, but plus because of these reappearing spots on carpet. So what happens is a customer, they'll get a spot on their carpet, they'll spot clean it, the spot will go away. And then, I don't know, a couple months later, it comes back bigger and darker.
Hmm.
And so what do? They use a stronger spot cleaner, spray it, scrub it, agitate it, you know, goes away, but then it comes back and they call like a professional cleaner and they charge them hundreds of dollars. It comes out great, but everything comes back. But now the carpet feels ruined. It feels crispy and sticky. Right. So I think to myself, this is either an opportunity to solve a huge problem, make a lot of money, or just get out of the industry altogether. So I decided to solve the problem. I take much time, energy, and money, you know, doing research and kind of reverse engineering this whole problem and come up with a solution to prevent, correct, and restore these reappearing spots. This customer of mine, she's telling me, oh, this spot, you know, keeps coming back. It was original, like a laundry detergent spill, and I tried this, and this. And all of a sudden, as she's saying that, I'm thinking about my parents' divorce.
Hmm.
And I tried this, and this, and then the next stain. And I tried this, and this, and then God starts linking these spots together with all the things I've tried. And he tells me, John, dude, you're spot cleaning your life just like your clients are spot cleaning your carpet. That's why the spots are coming back and why your life, if it looked like a carpet, looks like it had been soiled and spot cleaned one too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, John, what you do for carpets, you can do for your life. And I kid you not, the Holy Spirit shows me how to reverse engineer my carpet care process into a principle-driven formula to do for my life what I do for carpets. But it's not applicable to just me. Anybody can apply it to their situation.
No, yeah.
And get amazing results. And in my mind, through my life experiences, whether you spot clean your life or use the restorative process, it's hard either way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Either one
is hard. Well, and what's really interesting, because I want to get into some of that, into some of what that looks like how we spot clean and how we can do it better. But what's interesting is I had an interview just a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to a woman who is an interior designer, and she's telling me all of these things that God has taught her through interior design. And I love that. And I think that we as a culture, we think that just like ministers and pastors and teachers are the ones that God uses what they do to teach them, not only themselves, but other people. And I just, especially through having this podcast, I just over and over and over learn that's just not true. Like, you can clean carpets, you can decorate houses, you can teach kids, and like God is going to use what you are like naturally gifted at to like implement his goodness, teach you about his faithfulness, and like allow you to turn around and do the same for others. And I just love that every time I get into a conversation like this, I'm like, carpet cleaning. God is like faithfully showing you and teaching you through carpet cleaning. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's remarkable. You know, through this whole experience, every single carpet cleaner goes through a certification process, and it's called the IICRC. However, after going through all of this, I now realize it's that basic training, professional training, the certification process that trains all of these cleaners that is foundationally broken and causing this problem because they're missing a vital step. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of homeowners saying, I don't even want to buy carpet anymore because it's too hard to keep clean. You get a spot, it just keeps coming back. It's dumb.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's so easy to take care of it. It could practically be self-cleaning and way easier to clean than a laminate or hardwood or tile grout floor.
You just have to know the right way
and how to do it. And it's super simple and it's way less.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's, I would venture to believe that a lot of the things that you write about in your book, it kind of feels the same way. Like, the foundational way people are doing this and spot cleaning their lives is broken, and that doing it a better way is easier. I would think it's easier to, and we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, like it's, and you just said this, both are hard. Spot cleaning your life or having an intentional approach, like they're both hard. But which one do you want? One that brings results? Do you want hard that brings results, or do you want hard that you're going to have to do again in who knows how long?
Right.
Okay, so one of the questions that I get all the time is, how do I keep up with the news without buying into a place that has severe political leans? And I want to answer that question by telling you about The Pour Over. It's a weekly email that keeps Christians informed about current events while focusing on Christ. So they drop a news summary into your inbox 3 times a week with reminders and verses to keep you focused on eternity, not the chaos in DC or Wall Street, but while updating you on current events. They're not conservative, they're not liberal, they are just Christian. And as someone personally who wants to stay up to date on current events, but maybe not feel depressed or overwhelmed, I have found The Pour Over to be a great addition to my inbox. And honestly, I'm super picky about who I let in my inbox. So you can sign up for their newsletter for free by heading to thepourover.org, and you can start finding out what is going on in the world without feeling crazy.
Do you mind if I get a little deeper into that?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, so as I was saying, that life is like a carpet, it gets dirty. But the thing is carpet is a perfect metaphor. And I say that because a spot gets on a carpet, somebody uses spot cleaner. So let's go through that motion. Spot happens, they get the spot cleaner, they spray it, they agitate it, they absorb it out, spot goes away. That is the typical, you know, process for people to follow. And then they follow it again and again and again when it comes back. However, if it comes back, where did that spot go? That's the question I asked myself. Well, the spot is gone, But if the spot's gone, why did it come back? So think about that spot cleaner that you originally used, right? Spray it on your fingers, you'll feel it's a little slippery. And that slippery detergent that's in that spot cleaner, it does get out the spot, but it also it goes down the fiber, slides down it. And because it can't evaporate, it can only dry and wick to the surface. So when it wicks to the surface, it's invisible. But over time, it attracts, like a magnet, dirt, grease, and oil.
Right. Okay?
The thing is, they do it again because of 100% of the time to the untrained eye, it's going to look like a normal everyday spot, but it's not.
Right.
So here's the problem. They spot clean again, it comes back again, bigger and darker, and then they call a professional. But as I was saying with the whole industry standard cleaning, I call it the top-down deep cleaning, okay? The problem is the technician is trained to see every spot the same way, like it's a real spot. So they treat it the same way. And it removes the surface soil, but pushes the middle soil deeper down, causing other downfalls of carpet, like, you know, crunchiness and rapid resoiling and all of these different things. I call that an unconscious cleaning mistake. They don't know. Their intention is good. Their approach is just a little bit off. And the parallel for life is the same thing. You know, we say, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to, or it's not my fault. Shoot, didn't mean to. You know, that's a powerful cleaner and it'll work until it doesn't. But what do you do when it doesn't work? You know, you go get a professional cleaning, you know, you go to counseling and whatever else. And I remember sitting in the counselor's office thinking to myself about that client that was explaining the process of how it got from one state to another. And I realized, you know how long it took to get the whole session started and keep it going, like very heated? It only took like 2 minutes. And they took one question. Oh, how'd it go this week? Just one. And as we're going about that session, I realize, oh my gosh, this counseling is spot cleaning. It's only cleaning the surface. It's not treating the root issue, because if it was, the surface symptom would be gone. And I knew right then, like God was just, he was talking to me. He was talking to me through counseling, through customers, through cleaning carpet, through correcting carpet, like all these different things. So here's the thing. What do you do if you're not supposed to use spot cleaner? Well, here's the funny thing. So carpet, like I said, life is just like carpet. If people just used vinegar and water, 50-50, distilled white vinegar and water, the spot would come out. And it won't come back. Why, John? Because you're not cleaning the actual fiber of the carpet. And here's the thing. When I say life is like carpet, I mean a Christian life is like carpet. Because modern day carpet is like the eighth wonder of the world in my mind. And I say that because it's stain resistant. Okay. So you're cleaning that stain resistant coating on that fiber. And that's why the vinegar and water will take that spot right off. And why won't it come back? Because there's no detergent that's slippery that slides down the fiber that wicks the surface. No, the vinegar and water can evaporate, unlike the soapy detergent. The reason why is because the carpet is stain resistant, not soap resistant. Same is true for a Christian's life. We are covered with the blood, but we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? So when we get a spot, what do you use? Here's what I tell my technicians, and I train everybody the same way. First, I train them to see not spots as real spots, but figure out, is that detergent or not? Second, when in doubt, what? Rinse it out. So here's the thing. When I'm doing a carpet, you know, not to get too geeky, but we do like a corrective / restorative rinse, you know, a special way so that it cleans top down, bottom up versus just top down. So we clean in layers. So it gets all of that sticky detergent out. And the same is true for life. what's the water for life? Well, I remember camping one time with my family. My kids were super small, and my son, he gets a bucket of water and dumps it on my wife, and she's like, ah, I'm laughing, and I'm sitting on the shore, right, on the sand, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my daughter sneaks up behind me with another bucket of water and dumps it on me, and it's freezing cold. And as it's going over me, I realize the Holy Spirit says, that's it. When in doubt, rinse it out, bro. Unconditional love. That's the water of restoration. And what I realized is that how I was explaining earlier, you know, if I compared my life to a regular carpet, it looked like it had been soiled and sparkling one too many times. It looked like it needed to be replaced. Right. It just had enough detergent in it to clean generations of mine.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. So that's what I learned. And it's basically a five-step process. It's a principle-driven formula, and it helps you like make right decisions all the time. You know, it helps you do like restorative cleaning, and it helps you achieve your vision of the future faster. All like without being judged, feeling judged, you know, because when you feel judged, there's this tension inside you.
Right. Well, and you kind of tend to reject.
Right.
You reject, even if it's good things you're being offered, you're going to reject them if you feel like there's even the space to be judged. And anyone, no matter if you have lived the Christian equivalent of a squeaky clean life, there are things that you feel like you could be judged for. Or if you have lived a life where you were in and out of jail and you know, you had all of these struggles. The great thing about Jesus, though, is that squeaky clean, like Christian, like did the whole thing and like didn't even know who Jesus was until they were later in life. Like once you've met Jesus, your carpets look exactly the same.
Right?
Your carpets look exactly the same. There are no spots. There are no like history. You are going to have different struggles. You're going to have different things that are hard for you, but they're different, not better or worse. They're different.
Right.
And I think that that's the really beautiful thing of what you were saying about like that restorative, like rinse is the great news is that like, that's a one-time gig. Like that restorative rinse is like, that's a one and done. You don't have to redo that.
That's right.
Like that's the power of Jesus is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how, like if we're, which I'm all about running with a metaphor, like it doesn't matter what your carpet looks like. It doesn't matter what your life looks like. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. The power of Jesus covers all of that. And repentance is important and sanctification is important, but you don't have to go back and exactly what you're saying. You don't have to go back and like spot clean these things that Jesus is like, no, we're done with that. Like that one's good. Leave that one alone, you know?
Yes. Yeah. You know, after hearing you right now, I just realized like so many people, including myself, are working for God's love, working for our spouse's love. Mm-hmm. And that's crap.
It is crap.
Crappy Christian.
Yeah, you're
right?
Allowed to say that here. You're good.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Cause that's crappy. So instead of working for his love, working with his love. And when you work with his love, you are unstoppable. Yep. Well, not you, but that love.
Right.
It's like, you know, I realized that during the whole experience, when you're working for someone's love, the reason why is because you're basically trying to fill an unmet need that can't be filled.
Exactly.
So what I changed was getting this God-given vision. And I just remember my marriage is falling apart all of my life. And I have this dream 3 nights in a row. And I see myself on this stage talking to like hundreds of thousands of people. Then that's over and I'm like shaking hands with people and I can smell and taste the donuts in the room. Like people were giving me hugs and I could smell their cologne and perfume. Mm-hmm. And it was just so real. The next night, I have a dream about my business being restored. And then the next night, I have a dream about my marriage, my family being restored. And each day I wake up to a hell of a life. And I remember saying to God, like, what the heck are you doing? Why would you give me this now?
Yeah.
But I realized we need to have such a huge, compelling vision, because in the heat of the moment, in the heat of a stain, it has to be so compelling, because you are going to not follow the restorative cleaning process. You're going to want to spot clean like that to get that unmet need fixed right away, like instantly, right? Jack in the box drive through. So once I kind of mastered that, can I just share the five steps
with
you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the first step is awareness, okay? Personal awareness, not just personal awareness, but interpersonal awareness about spots and stains and how they affect you and what that triggers in you, like your nervous system, right? Like sometimes the hair on my head will stand up, or the back of my neck, or I'll get the chills or goosebumps or something. And then the second step is accountability. Like, you got to take accountability for those thoughts and feelings, right? Like, take every thought captive, right? Third step, aligned action. Aligned action with what? The problem with me was, I just said it, I was chasing these unmet needs that couldn't be met. Three is aligned action with a God-given goal. You know, the beauty of this process is it takes your personal and your professional vision, combines them together. And in order to achieve it, it has to transcend all your unmet needs. It has to be impossible to achieve without divine intervention.
Amen.
And it has to include others. As you go after, the trickle-down effect fulfills those unmet needs, and you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And like, my whole life was all about compartmentalization, right? Like, that's just how I was raised. Totally dysfunctional. I mean, you name it, I did it. It was all a good intention, just a horrible approach.
Right.
This decompartmentalizes everything and lets you be you.
Yeah.
I wear Crocs like all the time now. I'm just
because you like them.
So I have a V-neck, I have Dickie shorts and my Crocs, and that's my life uniform around the house. You know, but I couldn't have done that before because I was the quote perfect Christian husband wannabe.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, got restored. Now I can just be myself organically and be good with that. So step four is adoration. After you have that big old gigantic goal, the next step is adoration. So for carpet cleaning clients, I'm like, what's your goal? And they're like, I just want it to get clean. I just want it to look good. And I tell them, okay, well, I'm not the company for you, you know, because honestly, anybody can do that. You can go rent a machine from the store and pay 50 bucks and you're going to get a decent result. If that's you, great. No offense, but just please go somewhere else. However, if you want to get your carpet back to point A, if you want it to be super simple to care for, if you want it to last twice as long as the manufacturer touts, then I'm
your
guy. Now, I'm 2-3 times as expensive, but I guarantee you, and I will look in their eyes and say, I guarantee you that this cleaning will help you. Same thing is true for life. However, what we're going to do for that carpet is going to be totally different than any other company. Mm-hmm. Because we're, like I said, we're going to do that restorative cleaning where it cleans top down, bottom up. So what that means to the customer is it's going to take what's in the fibers out and what's in the base and backing, bring it up. Same thing is true for life.
Yeah.
And with adoration, you clean from the top down, bottom up, and it works simultaneously on your past stains, present stains, and helps you get closer to your vision of the future faster versus taking one step forward, two steps.
Yeah.
The fifth and final step is acceptance. Okay. You have to accept the process because it's an ongoing thing. And in my mind, you see these bumper stickers and they say coexist or tolerate. And to me, you know, here we are, right? With Black Lives Matters, with the coronavirus. And if we decide to coexist, that's no bueno. If we decide to tolerate, that's no bueno. It's going to fester and it's going to explode eventually. However, if we can accept people for who they are, not for what they do,
yeah,
for who they they are. They're made in God's image. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Whether they are saved or not, it makes no difference in my life.
Amen.
And to me, when you can have acceptance, not just of the system, but of people, then look out, because you're unstoppable. Yeah. And the thing is I look back on the happiness of my life that I've always wanted. And to put it in words is, I wanted to be accepted. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be heard, but my parents, they only knew how to see me, not hear me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not their fault. I mean, I know with all my heart that they both love me, like with all their heart. It's just their way of showing it was a little different than I received it, So the process kind of shows people how to love not just themselves, but others at a frequency they actually feel. So they feel rinsed from the top down, bottom up. And the transformation is like that. I mean, it's great.
I love systems like that. Like, I love approaches, and I love when those things come from people who love Jesus, because a lot of the time the world's is like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get going and you'll figure it out. And I love when people are like, no, like, you need to lean on Jesus. Like, you for sure need Jesus for this whole thing. But here's some tangible ways to do that. And I think that this is really impactful. And I think that your metaphor just works so well, which,
oh, that's so cool.
Of course it does, because this is what you do, right? It's like me making a metaphor about podcasting. It's the way our brain works, and the things that we're good at are what God uses to communicate through us with. And so to close, I want you to tell people where they can find you, follow you, get in touch with you, and where they can get a copy of Stop Spot Cleaning Your Life.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. They can go to johnwilliamgray.com. www.johnwilliamgray.com, and that's G-R-A-Y. And they can get my book. They can also get my 5-step, 1-page PDF blueprint.
Oh, perfect.
The process.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, I would love to get people's feedback on that. They can also go to Facebook.com/StopSpotCleaningYourLife.
Perfect.
Instagram.com/StopSpotCleaningYourLife. LinkedIn.com/JohnWilliamGray.
Yeah. And we'll link to all of that in your show description so people can find you and connect with you super easily. I love me a good, like, downloadable PDF that makes everything kind of simple, not simple, but laid out. So, John, thank you so much for this really incredible conversation. This was such a gift.
Oh, yeah. My great pleasure. Thank you so much. Wow. That's awesome.
All right, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crappy Christian Podcast. And hey, by the way, if you super loved it, can you go leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening? That'd be awesome. All right, see you next week.